Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm speaking with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach field agronomist Megan Anderson about the corn crop and humidity and some recent concerns. Last week, we saw some really hot and humid conditions across Iowa, especially in our corner of the state. What part does corn play in that?
So corn, especially at this time of year, is producing a lot of water in that it's taking up significant amounts of water from the soil and actually transpiring a portion of that out of its leaves. And when it can transpire that much water out of its leaves, as well as losing some from the soil surface, they call it evapotranspiration. And through that process, it doesn't really have an effect on the temperature, but it can add moisture to the air, which can actually make it feel hotter and wetter out.
And does that get more severe as the corn crop grows taller?
Yeah, it actually kind of peaks right about this time of year. The evapotranspiration is highest right before it reaches reproductive stages most of the time, so right around that tassel time frame. So we're sort of on the downhill slope right now as far as water use that the plant is taking up, but we were just probably peaking here in the last couple weeks.
So does that then make the rural areas feel more of the humidity because it's closer to the corn crop than those urban centers?
I think that's kind of the general thought process, that it can just make it feel more oppressive out because we do have so much corn here in Iowa.
And how is the corn crop looking from what you've seen?
Oh, it really depends on where you are. I think that for the most part, the crops look remarkable considering some of the heat stress and even some of the drought stress that they're under right now. Definitely my more northern counties look a lot better than they do to the south, but I don't go up as far in the northeast corner of Iowa where actually they've had quite a bit more water than they would like to have. And then kind of in the south central portion of the state into the southeastern part or portions of southeastern Iowa, they're quite a bit drier than we'd like them to be. So I think we're going to see some of the effects of this heat and the drought stress when it comes to grain fill and how many kernels these ears are going to have on them, but really only time will tell what actually is going to happen with these crops.
And are you seeing any issues with certain pests or Palmer amaranth or weeds?
You know, I haven't heard a lot on the Palmer amaranth front this summer. However, we did discover that there was one 2017 seeding of a CRP that had Palmer amaranth seed that appears to have come in with it. So if anybody did see the 2017 seeding, we'd still encourage people to keep an eye out for it, as well as scouting corn and soybean fields. Now's a great time of year to scout. Other than that, the disease front for both corn and soybeans has really been pretty quiet because of how hot and dry it's been. That's not necessarily the best conditions for the majority of our common corn and soybean diseases that we have developed here in the state. But we have seen, as a result of the dry conditions, spider mites making some flare-ups in crop fields, both corn and soybean. And then, of course, I think everybody's pretty familiar with the Japanese beetle issue that we had this summer.
Yeah. So are you hearing quite a bit about the Japanese beetles?
Things are kind of starting to die down now, but I definitely was getting a lot of phone calls, more so on the homeowner front than in crop fields. But I know that there has been some definite concern in certain areas where the beetles move in and right along the edges of the fields, the beetles are clipping silks in corn or perhaps doing some defoliation in soybeans. They do congregate when they start feeding, so that's why sometimes when you see them, they can look really bad because there will be several beetles, you know, maybe on like one ear of corn. But usually as you move further into the field, it's not as big of an issue, and it's just kind of along the borders. And then in soybean fields, it takes a lot of defoliation to make that treatment worthwhile to try and take care of the Japanese beetles. So hopefully they're starting to slow down now, and we don't have to worry about them so much anymore.
And if people were to see them, should they report it or what should they do?
Well, as far as the Japanese beetles, they don't really need to do any reporting. But if anybody wanted help making decisions on whether or not they should be treating their crop for the Japanese beetle problem, they certainly could feel free to give me a phone call and we could chat about it, or I could potentially come out and take a look and see how bad it really is.
That's been today's Washington Page with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach field agronomist Megan Anderson, speaking about the corn crop. I'm Sally Hart with KCII News.